Okay, look, I think we probably should make a start on the call. Can I just remind everybody, if you're not speaking, could you please mute your phone, and that way it should cut down on the amount of background noise and interference. If you're not on Adobe Connect, I'd recommend that you do start it up if you can, as we will be reviewing the documents using that process as we have in the past. And can I remind participants who are on Adobe Connect, if they raise their hands, should give me a speaking order to take questions in. I see we've got a couple of new people on the call, Denzel West and Stephen Johnson. So if you're getting used to this voice, I'm Keith Davidson, and welcome along. Christina, can I ask you to give us the list of those who are present and apologies for this call?
Sure. On the call we have Eberhard Lisser, Keith Davidson, Bernard Turcotte, Kim Davies, Nigel Roberts, Bill Samick, Dottie Sparks DeBlanc, Bart Boswinkle, Stefan Jonsson, Martin Boyle, Gap Ackerhuis, Denzel West, and myself, Christina Nordstrom. And apologies we have from Paulus Miranda, Oscar Robles, Eric Iriarte, and Susanne Sen.
And is there anyone else on the call whose name wasn't mentioned? And are there any apologies that were not recorded? Okay, I'll take it as then as agreement of the meeting that that is the correct record of those present and apologies. Now, it's quite some time since we met last. This agenda was put out by Bernie last weekend, and I hope you've all had a chance to review the agenda, but it's at the bottom left of Adobe Connect, if you're connected there. Just running through the agenda items tonight, we want to confirm the record of the last meeting, have an update on the fourth progress report, which has been published, a review of the public comments received on the published report, finalising the report, and then the most important business of tonight, the first review of the final report, and then just confirmation of our future meetings. Is there anything else for the agenda? Is everyone in agreement with the agenda the way it's formed? I'll take silence as assent. Okay, so moving on, the first real item of business is the confirmation of the record of the meeting of 16 December, which is up on Adobe Connect. And Bernie, do you want to walk us through it pretty quickly?
Sir? Okay, let's see. All right, Keith, Yap, Youngham, Eberhard, Kim, Christina, Bernie, and we had a bunch of apologies. So it was not a very large meeting. The agenda was confirmed. Confirmation of past meeting reports. The December 9th meeting was approved with minor corrections. The final report on unconsented redelegations of CCTLDs. And it was the consensus of the working group to accept it. And given the note on the call, Keith was going to circulate it, which he did, for any exceptional comments. There were some minor comments, and a final version was recirculated and posted. And confirmation of future meetings was the today meeting, followed by a meeting exceptionally next week, the 3rd of February, and then if we need it, the 10th of February. So we've got including this meeting, three meetings in a row. And then after that, we meet Sunday, March 13th. In that's my report, sir. I'll take questions.
Okay. Is there? Does anyone have any additions, comments, changes? If not, I'll take silence as agreement that that be approved as the record of the meeting of 16 December. Thank you, Bernie. Moving on to item four on the agenda, an update on the fourth progress report. I'm not sure whether that's an item for Bart or for Bernie, but Bernie, over to you.
The fourth progress report is just come up. I'm going to do it, even though Bart did most of it, because I'm already the presenter and there's not a lot different. After discussions, given that the report on unconsented redelegations was not approved at the time we created the third progress report for the meeting in Cartagena, it was felt that we should post a fourth progress report, which is an update to the third, to include the fact that the working group had approved the final report on unconsented redelegation. So really the only change is to bring in the same format, the information from the unconsented redelegation report so that we can let everyone know that we've done that. And as per the inclusion of the other reports, which I'm scrolling down to right now, there has been some paraphrasing of the issues, but nothing has been added, and the recommendation is the same. And I will keep scrolling. I'll try the elevator button, see if it works. Oh, maybe the changes to Adobe Connect have been useful. Sections are exactly the same. I won't waste everyone's time going through them. They were approved. They were posted as part of the third progress report. This is the only section that has really changed. And the issues, fair and consistent application of bylaws regarding the minutes of board meetings, applicability of ICP-1. I'm just going to run through the headers. We all know this stuff. Most of it is copy and pasted from the main report. Inactive or retired manager or administrative contact is not replaced. Failure to reply as an approval. No publicly documented IANA process and procedures for unconsented and contested redelegations. Public IANA reports are inconsistent. Application of GAC principles 2005 and IANA versus local legislation for a CCTLD. The recommendation is the standard recommendation, and closes off the fourth status report, which was posted this week, I believe. Over to you, Mr. Chair, for questions and comments.
Thanks, Bernie. And I think it's a little difficult to go into any depth or detail on this, since it is a published report and now in the public domain. So. Pretty hard to change it. But does anyone have any comments or questions about this progress report or the unconsented redelegation report?
Keith, it's Bill.
Yes, Bill.
I had suggested a change in the language of the boilerplate. In effect, the DRDG recommends that as blah, blah, CCNSO Council undertake. And I guess Nigel's response to that was, duh, that's implicit in the language. And I just want to get a, without pushing to change the language, unless people will agree it's not a big deal to change it, I just want to get a general confirmation that when we say here the CCNSO Council will undertake to develop something, they won't be doing it in camera, but as part of the CCNSO itself, with feedback and input from members.
I'm sure that is the case, and I don't think there's any need for any clarification to that. I don't think the CCNSO Council does anything in camera. All their meetings are open, and certainly in discussions that have been going on, it's a likely intention, and it's unfortunate that Chris isn't on the call to confirm, but it's likely that a further working group would be established for this purpose of a framework of interpretation.
And as long as that's the intention of this language, and we know that for sure, I won't push for any changes. Just the key issue here is for the avoidance of doubt, it's good to put it out on the table and clarify it.
Yeah, I think the reason why it would, or the wording of this recommendation was a mirror of the recommendations that were included in the other re-delegation and delegation papers. So it seemed to me a bit odd to change it, and it was probably a little bit too 11th hour, but I think you and I should take it as read that this won't be a CCSO Council behind closed doors discussion. It will be an open process and probably another working group.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, cheers. Any other comments or questions?
Well, this is Jaap here. I do have a small nit about the wording, which I just found out. I mean, it says somewhere in section 3 about, talks about the active ISO 31-1 list, but there is no such thing as an active or a non-active list. So, I mean, but the same wording is, but it's probably water under the bridge, but in the definition, it kind of defines something which doesn't exist. And the same happens in the final report, so we probably should actually change it there, at least.
I think we should note that. Thanks, Jaap. Probably too late to change it in the public progress report, but let's make sure we get the final report absolutely right in that regard. Okay, any other comments? Okay, moving along, the next item on our agenda is the review of public comments.
Keith, I had my hand up.
Oh, sorry, Eberhard, I didn't see that, but I see it now.
I'm wondering, we were having doch the story about the pre-existing grandfather domain names or CCTLDs. Where is this? I can't find this in the QUIC.
I'm sorry, I don't quite understand.
Well, we have doch this thing where we say that we, not all of us agree that ICANN has a role to play in CCTLDs that were created before ICANN. Where is this mentioned in the report? I can't find it when I'm looking through it quickly.
I know we've discussed the topic, but I didn't, I'm...
We were rather having a footnote or something or somewhere. Where is that?
I don't know.
I'll look at that. Maybe we can and find it while we're chatting. And I don't think it's in the progress report, but I believe we've got that part of stuff in the final and consented report. But I'll be on that now and back to you in a few minutes.
Okay. Thanks, Eberhard. We'll come back on that. Okay, any other questions or comments? If not...
Denzel here.
Yes, Denzel.
With regard to the question that Eberhard asked just now, I was looking at the document, and there is a mention in the document that just says the... It is unclear what rules apply to legacy CCTLDs. If I can just find the exact section,
If you could give us a page number.
Yeah, I just lost, but hang on a second. Sorry, I lost the page. Perhaps I can find it and get back to you on that, because...
Okay. We'll come back to it when we can.
Yeah.
Okay, if there's nothing else, shall we move on to the public comments? And we had one...
it's on page 18, sorry.
Oh, page 18. Bernie, do you want to skip to that page on screen?
Five B.
Ah, there we go. So Eberhard is. Does that clarify?
Okay, that's fine. I just couldn't find it quickly. But if I look for legacy with the find function of the word processor, I'll find it. Okay, thanks.
Yeah, 5B, yes, it is the place. Okay, if there's nothing else, let's move along. And we have the public comments. We had one public comment received on the ICANN website from Pascal Forchon. And I trust that everybody's had a read of these comments. And just wonder if anyone has any suggestions about how this working group should respond. My feeling is that there's a number of ways we could respond. One is to not respond, since they are questions rather than actual comments or raising issues about the substance of the reports, but more questioning ICANN's authority to act and so on. Another method, option one is to ignore. Option two is to refer questions about things like will ICANN pay compensation to impacted parties onto ICANN for ICANN to answer. Or thirdly, I could potentially draft a response as the chair of the working group, put it through the working group and answer the questions that we can. Or what else, I don't know. So is there any discussion about an approach or any discussion on the issues actually raised? Is there anything in the comments that we've failed in terms of our work to date? I see Nigel has his hand up. Nigel.
Yeah, it's an important thing to respond to. It's out with the competence of this group to provide a substantive response to a question like that, but it's certainly one that we need to respond to properly, and I'd be delighted to assist in working with Keith on drafting something. My guess, my instinct would be something like, I suggest you address this to ICANN General Counsel.
Yes. Okay.
But we need to put a little bit of meat on that, describing who the group is and our connection or otherwise to the ICANN corporation.
Yep. Okay. Okay, I see a number of hands up. Bill and then Eberhard. Bill.
I should think that this would be best referred to the CCNSO Council group that's going to deal with the results of this report, and would be something that they would be considering anyway, and it's good input, and that would be an appropriate response to the submitter.
Okay. So your suggestion is flip the ball on to the council and advise Pascal that we've referred it to council for their response in due course.
Yes, because he's referring to some things in our report, and the ICON Council can't really deal with that, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Well, I disagree with that, Bill, totally. The CCNSO is not part of the ICANN body that would or wouldn't pay compensation according to the actions of the ICANN board.
But this working group probably doesn't have the authority to pass things through to ICANN General Counsel and so on. It's probably more appropriate that the CCNSO Council be the conduit, the formal conduit for any such discussion.
Well, I'm Keith, if you'll forgive me, I'm not suggesting we have authority or otherwise. What I'm suggesting is that we set out that we have no authority in response. And if he wants a response as to what ICANN will do, then he should ask ICANN, not the working group or the CCNSO, which is not part of ICANN.
Mm.
My personal opinion, I don't think we should blow him off like that. Someone should give him a more reasoned response. And I think.
But I don't think the CCNSO has any authority to give a response to that question.
I think
the council has authority to do whatever it wants. But you know,
I'm sorry, Bill. No, the council does not have the authority to speak for the ICANN board.
Well, I don't have the authority to speak for the council, so I can't say what they can or can't do. At any rate, my recommendation, and it's just my personal feeling, is that we refer to the council as part of the initial input for the project they're going to develop on these unresolved issues.
Keith, I think we should answer every question. He asks us, we answer. Some of the questions he posed cannot be answered, so we tell him we cannot be answered. We cannot answer. Yeah, at the moment, 3B, for example, registrants have a contract based on the law of the jurisdiction of the registry. That's okay. What are the reasons why the working group is promoting ICANN to work in a manner which may be destabilizing to the user community? We don't do that.
Yeah.
Okay. Will ICANN pay compensation? That's not for us to answer. So I think we should go through every question on the list, come up with an answer, and basically any question we get, we answer. Any question we cannot answer, we tell them this is beyond the scope of our working group. Please address it to council or to board. However, some of the questions he asks are quite pertinent, actually. No, it's just addressed to the wrong recipient.
Okay. I think we've got a reasonable sort of a consensus emerging here that we should seek to answer the questions that are appropriate for this working group, which are the early questions, and in responding to the latter questions, refer him elsewhere in ICANN. I'll have a chat to Chris in the interim to see whether he thinks those questions that this working group aren't empowered to answer, whether they should be referred to CCNSO or ICANN board or ICANN General Counsel, and get some feedback on that. And I'll take Nigel up on his offer and start doing a bit of a potential response, and work with Nigel on that and have it back to the working group for their consideration, so that while it might be the chair's response to the submission, it will have hopefully reached the consensus from the working group before we send it out. Is that a reasonable course of action for everybody?
Yeah, thanks, Keith. This is Nigel's briefly. just to say, first of all, I agree with Eberhardt's formulation, and I think it's not for us to actually say exactly who the questions that we can't answer should be addressed to, but maybe suggest that they could be best directed in a certain way. It's not for us to tell him where to ask them. It's for us to say we can't answer them, and this list of people might be more appropriate to ask those questions of, or something along those lines. But we'll take this offline.
Yep. Okay. Unless there's any other comments, we'll proceed on that basis. Cancel.
I have still got one question.
I wanted to make a suggestion that rather than framing it as answers to the questions, we should just say we're giving responses to the queries that were raised. It might just be semantics, but it could make a difference where you're suggesting that you're giving answers as opposed to just responding to the queries that were raised.
That's a very sensible suggestion. Thank you, Denzel. Eberhardt, sorry.
I Googled this name. I have no idea who this guy is. Who is this guy?
Denzel is part of ICANN staff, I believe, these days. Denzel, do you want to tell us a bit about you?
No, he doesn't mean Denzel.
No, I know Denzel.
Sorry.
I mean Patrick Forshon. I know Denzel.
Ah, okay. Oh, who is Pascal Forshon? Oh, yes, I don't know. A PhD student, I think. Does anyone know him here? No? Okay, Denzel, you have your hand up. Oh, you don't anymore. Okay, can we move along? I think we've got a reasonable way forward, and I'll work with Nigel and come back to the working group, and nothing will happen until the working group's had a fair chance to consider how we respond. Okay, can we move along to the major item on our agenda, and that's the... we have one more small item, and that's finalising the four reports and final edits. Bernie and Bart, are there any particular issues or comments or corrections or edits that are required?
Hello. Just a small one regarding the retirement. So we had feedback from YAP to we didn't quote the ISO 3166 MA correctly, so that needs to be adjusted. And I think, Bernie, we need to do the we need to include the suggestions from Bill in one of the reports as well.
Yeah, we've taken to heart, and you will see it in the final report that we'll be discussing next. We included some new text using Bill's suggestion. And
well, this was on the revocation and new delegation as a two-stage process.
That's correct. And so if after we go through it today in the final report, it seems okay with people, we'll look at integrating that in the final report on unconsented redelegations. And I guess we'd also like to give a final go-through to the four reports, delegation... redelegation with consent, redelegation without consent, and retirement, just to make sure they're cleaned up, they're consistent and everything, but without any, I would say, substantive changes if they're going to be final.
Mm. Yeah, what Bart was pointing at was that there was some line kind of dropped, and I sent the correction to it before the final version was printed, and it never made it to the final version.
Apologies for that, yeah, but let's make sure it's, that we get it done this time.
Okay.
Just a comment too from me, something that I've been pondering on in recent days. I think that a reflection of the working group's feeling on where we or on what the priorities might be in the final report would be to suggest that the recommendation for the development of the framework of interpretation should be treated by the CCNSO Council as a high priority or an urgent priority, and that the policy development process for the retirement of CCTLDs be accorded a not quite so urgent status, given the number of PDPs the CCNSO has going on at the moment, and B, the low number of retirements of CCTLDs anyway. But it, I wouldn't like to see a retirement PDP launched that would hold up the work for the framework of interpretation development. And so I think I'd be fairly safe in assuming that that's the view of the working group through our discussions along the way, and unless I hear an objection, I think we should incorporate something about that prioritisation of the recommendations in the final report. And I see Nigel's telling me that's a tick to that idea. Thank you, Nigel. And I'm not hearing any objections. Okay, can we move on to the draft of the final report? And Christina, if we could have that up on screen, item 7 on the agenda, and hand over to Bernie. Bernie, can you walk us through it?
Yes, sir. Thank you. We have the document up on the screen. I hope everyone can see that. I'll do my usual walkthrough. So by this point, the people who are used to these calls will be used to how we proceed. The general opening notes are that there is nothing new in the final report. We did take an approach of reformatting things and maybe synthesizing things more clearly, so that if there are people whose only reading of our working group work will be the final report, that they can get a proper sense of things. We do refer extensively to the final reports on the individual sections of delegation, redelegation, and retirement, but we've also tried to distill this into a 10-15-page read that will encompass our thoughts, recommendations, discussions, and concerns and issues for someone who's coming at this cold. So that's my caveat. The report is structured as an introduction to our work, the findings and recommendations up front, and after that, and what you will notice is that we've done some general findings. So the findings that are applicable to more than one process, we've bunched them up and cleaned them up, so that people can read them and understand them. After that, we have process-specific findings. And what we'll see when we go through those is that we've kept the process-specific ones to a minimum and the core issues, and really we've, I think, done a pretty good job of including most of the stuff in the general findings. And it just made sense when we were taking a pass at writing this.
Could I just add too, Bernie, that both that Bart, Bernie, and myself have worked pretty solidly on this document in recent weeks, and we've been through a number of iterations and approaches, and we finally came up with this approach. And Becky Burr has also had a good read of it too. So we've tried many ways to condense this down and feel that this is the most appropriate, but seek input from the working group as to how appropriate you think it is too. Sorry, Benny, please carry on.
No problem. Yes, effectively, just to close off Keith's point, what you're seeing is actually version 8 or 9 of the document, and there have been some significant changes. What you'll also note is that we've done delegations and redelegations together in Block 2, and we've done retirement in Block 3, and the reason for that is because the recommendations are different, so we wanted to show the things in that kind of a structure. Section 4 is methodology and process as we've worked through the various documents. And that has been basically crafted from the various reports and status reports that we've posted. So again, there's nothing new there. We've tried to sort of keep the annexes down to a minimum, so we're not shipping gigabytes of information around. Annex A, purpose and scope of the working group. Annex B, membership of the working group. C, the list of the interim reports, including the status reports. Annex D, documentation and cases of the CCTLD delegations. So that is just a list of the cases that were made it into the final delegations report. Annex E, documentation of cases of redelegations with consent. Annex F, documentation in cases of CCTLD redelegations without the consent, and documentation in cases of CCTLD retirements. So that's the layout of the report, if you will, now that the little box works. The executive summary is fairly close to some of the texts that you've seen in the past. It talks about the creation of the DRDWG. The RDWG and analysis of the work, the recommendations, and then after the recommendations, here's some new text. I'll let everyone have a look at it. If the CCNSO Council adopts the above recommendations, the working group suggests the CCNSO Council makes use of the full reports on retirement, delegation, and redelegation with and without consent of CCDLDs for developing the framework of interpretation and launching the PDP for the retirement of CCTLD. The working group believes these recommendations provide a framework to resolve the issues identified and create an environment for making consistent and predictable decisions regarding the delegation, redelegation, and retirement of CCTLDs while enhancing accountability and transparency. So since this is really the first new block of text, which closes off one section. I'll take questions, thoughts, and comments if there are any at this point. Hearing none, let's move on to the introduction. This is new text, but there's really no new information. This is the final report of the working group. I guess that's fairly obvious. A bit of history, the purpose, and then the working group considered current policies guidelines. This is all stuff from status reports or the definition of the working group, referral to the annex, which lists the purpose and scope of the working group. This report contains key findings as well as the recommendations of the working group to the CCNSO Council. Section 2 of the report contains the findings and recommendations regarding the process of delegation and redelegation of CCTLDs. The findings and recommendations regarding the retirement of CCTLDs are described in Section 3. an overview of the working method used and the process described in Section 4 as we talked about before, so really nothing new. The complete results of the work undertaken by the working group are contained in four reports published in November and December of 2010 for public consultation, listed in Annex C, list of interim reports, updated to take into account the public comments. These reports also include consensus recommendations of the working group on delegation, redelegation, with and without consent, and the retirement of CCTLDs. So that's the end of the introduction. I don't think there's anything that is contentious, but I will be glad to take questions and comments closing off this section. Hearing none, I will move on to Section 2, which is the meat of the report, if you will. General findings, which is itself the biggest section, so let's dive in. First one, sponsorship agreements. The ICANN board approved the resolution September 2000 requiring sponsorship agreements. The ICANN board resolution regarding the .kz redelegation of June 2005 approved the redelegation without sponsorship agreements. All subsequent delegations and redelegations, with the exception of .eu, were completed without the ICANN board requiring sponsorship agreements. Currently, the September 2000 decision regarding sponsorship agreements has not been modified, but is no longer applied. The working group believes the CCNSO Council should request that the ICANN board revoke this requirement. The final recommendation on this one is the new text, for the reason that this would be difficult to tackle in a framework. So basically, I guess we're sending a clear message back to the council, since this rule came in under difficult circumstances from the point of view of proper application of ICANN bylaws, and it's no longer used. Maybe the CCNSO can simply ask the ICANN board to get to move off of this dime. The next one is minutes of ICANN board meetings. We've gone through this a few times. But we've added some information here, so I'm going to go through this one in detail. There are several documented cases of failure to minute board discussions regarding the redelegation of CCTLDs without following the procedures that laid out in the ICANN bylaws for this. This includes, with increasing frequency, simply recording the decision of the board and not recording any of the board discussions. Noting in the minutes the information contained in the discussion regarding the redelegation was held in private. This issue raises significant concerns relating to accountability and transparency of ICANN. The note, this is fairly consistent with what we've written. The note is probably of interest. The chair of the working group wrote to the chair of the board and the president and CEO of ICANN on June 9, 2010, noting that since 3 February 2009, .by redelegation decision, the board agreed to have redelegation discussions in private sessions, and requesting an explanation for this significant change in methodology of the board in dealing with the redelegation decision. The chair of the board replied on the same date, confirming reception of the request, and that he would ask staff to prepare a formal response regarding these issues. The chair of the working group again wrote to the chair of the board and the president and CEO of ICANN on November 30th, 2010, reminding them that he had not received a response to his request. The president and CEO replied on the same date, confirming that he would look into this and get back to the chair of the working group. As of the writing of this report in January 2011, the chair of the working group has not received any response regarding this request. The original letter from the chair of the working group can be found. Blah. So,
Nigel has a question.
Well, I have a comment.
Oh, comment.
Can the chair of the DRDWG do it again, please?
For a third time?
Yes.
No problems.
Well, we seem to write to them every time, give them about a month before we meet for an ICANN meeting, so I guess we would be due pretty soon anyway. Any other questions, comments?
Eberhard has a question.
I have one. Since we've got a, since we're about to get a new ombudsman, why don't we write to introduce him properly to the job by writing him a letter to please ask the board what it takes to give us an answer?
Maybe that should be our next step and give the board a final opportunity to respond. I think there has been an indication of willingness to respond, but maybe it just drops down the priority list after that expressed willingness. So maybe a third letter and maybe sending this wording to the board or to the chair and CEO might stimulate a response. Yes, Nigel.
Okay, 2 points. One is I mildly disagree with Eberhard, but not very much. I think we should write another letter like you've written before now, and then just before we go to San Francisco, if no response has been received, then is the time to take the option that Eberhard lays out.
Okay.
I see Eberhard agrees with that.
Ladies and gentlemen, maybe just one comment before we go too far down this point. One should remember that a draft version of the report we're looking at will be made public. And I think that given this is made for rather public consumption, it'll probably by itself have an effect. I'm not saying we shouldn't do the other things. I'm just saying we need to consider that too.
Well, we need to be aware of that. I don't think we need to consider it because, as you say, it will have the effect. It will have some effect.
Yeah. I think. What I will do is rewrite to the chair and CEO and include this draft text saying we'd rather get a response and see this text in our final report. And then I think we'll it will provoke a response, and if it doesn't, then let's see what the working group feels is an appropriate action as we get closer to San Francisco. Okay. I don't think there's any other comments, so please carry on, Benny.
Thanks, sir. Definition of consent. We've tried to pull the best from this language. RFC 1591 ICP-1 used the same language to define consent. IANA must receive communications from both the old organization and the new organization that assure the IANA that the transfer is mutually agreed. Interpretation of consent. Communication that the transfer is agreed by IANA's own admission is highly variable depending on the number of factors, including culture and the immediate physical security of the CCTLD manager. This includes interpreting a failure to reply to an IANA email of consent in certain cases of redelegations where the current manager has stated he does not support the request. Interested parties or local internet community support for delegations and redelegations. The requirement that interested parties support delegations and redelegations is clearly documented in RFC 1591 and ICP-1 as a key element of any such request, although there has never been a clear definition for this terminology. This requirement is still in effect and has been inconsistently applied by ICANN, applied in ICANN decisions over the years with increasing inconsistency in recent years. Although ICANN has used a number of different terms as a substitute for interested parties over time, without embarking on any formal consultation or seeking advice from the stakeholder community, the implied definition of these terms seemed to have remained relatively clear until the recent transition to the term public interest in the IANA report on the redelegation of .co in November 2009. An analysis of all approved delegations and redelegation requests published by ICANN indicates a significant degree of inconsistency in applying the interested parties requirement. This includes the approval of a number of delegation and redelegation requests, which have no documentation indicating any support by interested parties. The analysis of all delegation and redelegation requests approved by ICANN has also identified a clear trend that the interested parties requirement evolved to interested parties and government support, and then further evolved to government support and community support if available. There have been no documented changes to the relevant policies and guidelines, and no formal consultation or advice sought from the affected stakeholder community. The following quote from the minutes of the April 22, 2010 meeting of the ICANN board highlight the issue. This is the standard quote we use. What is community support? Should be a matter for the CCNSO policy development so that the board is not trying to define such policies on its own. Jean-Jacques noted his support for Jones's suggestion. The chair confirmed that the timing of the ongoing work of the CCNSO would not provide answers to these issues for a couple of years to come. The CCNSO has not been contacted by the board regarding this issue. GAC Principles 2005. GAC principles do not constitute formal ICANN policy, but provide advice to the ICANN board regarding the delegation and redelegation of CCTLDs. The GAC has stated that it expects the ICANN board to follow this advice in its decisions or to formally explain to the GAC why they have not followed the advice. From the time of the publication of the original version of the GAC principles in 2000, the IANA reports have consistently referred to these as relevant guidances also provided by the GAC principles. In the GAC principles. Following the publication of the 2005 version of the GAC principles, the IANA reports began referring to these as, this document serves as best practices to guide governments in assuming proper roles with respect to the Internet's naming system. By the end of 2009, the IANA reports had dropped all mention of the GAC principles and simply referred to an other informational memoranda. There is no mention of the GAC principles in any publicly available documentation regarding delegation or redelegation decisions since then. It is unclear if the GAC principles are still being considered in the delegation redelegation decisions relating to CCTLDs.
Bernie, just to interrupt at that point, Denzel has his hand up. Denzel.
Yes, sorry, Bernie, sorry, everybody. I was just referring back to the summary report, because I heard Bernie say just now that the board has not requested from the CCNSO to deal with the issue of local community support.
Yeah.
Is that what he said?
Yes. The CCNSO has not been contacted by the board regarding this issue.
Right, but I think that, well, let's go back to the other report, and it says on, let's see which page 11, there's a statement that says there is a request by the board to the CCNSO to clarify what community support is.
No, that was a suggestion that was made during the board meeting, to which the chair replied the statement that's there, and there was never any follow-up to the CCNSO council.
Okay, right, but the statement says there is a request by the board to the CCNSO to clarify what community support is. So you're saying that was just a conversation within the board and the communication never came out?
I believe that's the facts, yes.
Okay. All right, I just thought I spotted an inconsistency there, so I wanted to clarify that.
Thanks, Denzel. Kim...
Just on that point, as I recall, I was at that meeting. I think the discussion went along the lines of the issue was raised, as was noted in the minutes, but the chair stated the CCNSO was already working on these matters. So, whether it's a formality that was required or not, I think there was a general understanding by the ICANN board that this working group specifically was looking at CCNSO delegation and redelegation. So perhaps that is why no formal request was made of the CCNSO, just the general awareness that these matters were already being considered.
Okay, thanks, Kim. I assume, Denzel, your hand's not up again, or do you have enough?
Just a quick follow-up. So are we supposed to be looking at this or not in the working group, or is it the CCNSO matter which needs another working group to deal with?
I think it's what we're leading to here is these issues have led to the recommendations, including the framework of interpretation. So the idea of community support or local internet community and so on, and probably the definition of such terms would be all part of the next tranche of work undertaken by the CCNSO.
Okay.
No other questions? Carry on, Bernie, sorry.
Thank you. So back to GAC principles. I believe we were done that part. So basically just stating we're uncertain of the status of these for ICAM at this point. The next item is RFC 1591 versus News Memo 1 and ICP 1. This basically copies chunks of text that were found in the final reports on the specific items with minor edits. So various people will recognize their text in there. INS published its current practices relating to CCTLD redelegations via a number of methods over time. In 94, it published RFC 1591 as a statement of current practice. In 97, this was updated with CCTLD News Memo Number 1. In 99, SCP-1 was published as a statement of current practice. In 2001, RFC 1591 and the principles it contained were accepted as appropriate policies by a majority of CCTLDs active in CCTLD management. And these CCTLDs continue their support for these principles today. Neither News Memo 1 nor ICP-1, which integrates News Memo 1, were ever officially endorsed by any significant group of CCTLDs. Contrary to the statements contained in its header, ICP-1 does contain significant changes in policies. These changes were never approved by resolution of the ICANN board. The working group analysis of RFC 1591 versus ICP-1 concluded that this policy decision, implementing ICP-1, failed to meet all the requirements for policy development in effect at the time. Additionally, ICP-1 is the last published policy statement by IANA regarding CCTLDs and has not been updated since 1999 and is inconsistent with current rules and practices in several areas. IANA reports. Edited versions of IANA reports are usually published on the website after the ICANN board has approved a delegation, redelegation, or retirement. Note, there is no record in the minutes of any ICANN board meeting of the board having rejected a delegation or redelegation request by IANA. The IANA reports are often the only public source of information concerning specific delegation, redelegation, and retirement decisions beyond the board minutes recording the resolutions for these decisions. As such, the community looks to these reports to understand how specific requests meet the requirements for delegation, redelegation, and retirement of CCTLDs. There are no published specifications as to what the public version of IANA reports, which are edited versions of what is provided to the ICANN board, should contain regarding the delegation, redelegation, retirement of CCTLDs. An analysis of all the IANA reports pertaining to CCTLDs has noted a high degree of variability in the information provided to support any specific recommendation. A lack of information supporting a decision is not consistently noted or explained. The format and type of information contained in the public IANA report has changed frequently, sometimes significantly, without any consultation with or notice to the stakeholder community. These issues raise concern relating to accountability and transparency of ICANN. And that sort of brings us to the end of the general findings. I will take a gulp of water and wait for any thoughts, comments, or questions at this point.
We're just rocking around with an earthquake here, so I might just disappear for a moment.
Oh, my. Okay. Hearing none, we'll move on to specific findings. Specific findings regarding delegation of CCTLDs. We've only got one, which is allowing ISO 3166-1 exceptionally reserved list be delegated as CCTLDs. The ICANN board approved a resolution in September 2000 allowing the delegation of elements of ISO 3166, blah, blah. The working group analysis of this board decision concluded this policy decision failed to meet all the requirements for policy development in effect at the time. The decision has only been invoked once to approve the delegation of the EU CCTLD. And a note which will be repeated in several places, the complete report on the delegation of CCTLDs can be found at. Any questions on specific findings regarding delegation of CCTLDs? Okay, moving on. Specific findings regarding redelegation of CCTLDs with the consent. We did not find anything that is not quoted in the general findings, and we have a note about the full report. Specific findings regarding redelegation of CCTLDs without the consent of the incumbent operator. No procedure for redelegation of a CCTLD without the consent of the incumbent operator. RFC 15, and this is the new text based on Bill and company's request, and after looking at it, I felt, and as everyone else did, that Bill had a fair point, and so we tried to create some text to properly explain this. So here we go. This is new. RFC 1591 nor ICP 1 provide a procedure for the redelegation of CCTLD without the consent of the incumbent operator. Both of these documents discuss the revocation of a delegation by IANA for cause, followed by a delegation to a new operator. This is somewhat confusing, given that in these types of situations, the revocation has never caused a CCTLD to be removed from the route prior to being delegated to a new operator, as is suggested in the two documents, thus trying to ensure continued resolution of the domains registered in the relevant CCTLD. This further illustrates some of the issues surrounding the redelegation of CCTLDs without the consent of the incumbent operator. Now, given this is brand new text, I'll take a pause here and ask for thoughts or questions or clarifications.
Bill Simich is indicating agreement, I think, and Eberhardt has his hand.
On the second line, RFC nor ICP1, should there not be neither in front of that?
There should be, indeed.
Good
neither
point.
RFC 1591 nor ICP1. Yep. Thank you, Eberhardt. Any other questions or comments? And Bill, can I just ask you very quickly, does that, I think that encapsulates the discussion we had on this topic. Are you happy? You're obviously indicating happiness, but any comments at all?
No, I think it does a good job, and it also shows that it is an open question, which is needs to be resolved.
Yep.
Appreciate it quite a bit.
Okay, thanks. Carry on, Benny.
All right. Definition of an active administrative contact and procedures relating to the retirement of a CCTLD's administrative contact. There are a number, and this is a lot of paraphrasing of stuff that was in the redelegation reports. There's nothing new, but it's stated in a new way, probably. There are a number of IANA reports regarding the redelegation of CCTLDs that state that there is no valid administrative contact. In such cases, IANA has recommended the redelegation of the CCTLD to the ICANN board, which has approved these, without the approval of the administrative contact or seeking to replace it. There are no published rules which define how IANA can determine if an administrative contact is no longer valid, and the documentation indicates IANA takes significant latitude in making such a determination. Additionally, there are no published rules as to what IANA should do once it has determined that the administrative contact is no longer valid, especially with respect to a redelegation request. This issue is closely associated with the notion of consent for the redelegations. And we talk about the full report on the redelegation without the consent of the incumbent operator. I'm just going to carry on here because the recommendation is just the standard recommendation for delegation and redelegations and has just been adjusted to take into account delegations and redelegations in the single recommendation. So that closes off section two. I'll take questions or comments at this point.
Nobody with any hands up, so I'm guessing people are happy.
Okay, moving on. Section 3, findings and we're almost there, folks. Hang in there. I think another 5 minutes and we're going to be done. Findings and recommendations regarding the retirement of CCTLDs. Findings. The removal of a CCTLD from the route retirement is considered one of the most critical recommendations ICANN can make. ICANN is a policy-based organization. There is no policy regarding the retirement of CCTLDs. There is significant divergence between the approach to the retirement of .tp.um and .yu. The fact that the .su CCTLD is still active after many years and no longer being on the ISO 3166 list underscores the lack of a formal policy for the retirement of CCTLDs. The recommendation is what it is. So these are not new words. They were picked off from the original report. We just made a selection. Questions, thoughts, or comments? Okay. Methodology and process. There is absolutely no new wording here. All the words have been taken from existing reports and state what we've done, and I will not take your time going through it. If you are truly interested, I would invite you to read it in detail. If you have questions, please contact myself or Bart. We'll be glad to answer questions or fix anything if there is a requirement to. But again, in this section, I just don't believe there will be. Which leads us to annexes, which I will not go through in detail. I will just flash them up on the screen so you see what we've done. Purpose and scope of the working group. This is from the original discussions and approved by the working group. The members, I think we've taken this from the official list. If we've forgotten someone or someone is there in error, please flag it. Annex C, the interim report. At the time we sent you this, we did not have a URL for the fourth progress report. We do now, so that will be included. And we have the five reports for public consultation, the original one before the Brussels meeting, and the four latest ones. Next item is documentation relating to the delegation of CCTLDs. So basically, we talk about the documents that were listed in the final report on the delegations. I'll run through one of them just to give you an example. RFC 1591, News Memo 1, ICP 1, GAC Principles, IANA, Publication Understanding, Sponsorship Agreement Decision, ISO 3166, Exceptionally Reserved List, No Longer Allowing Individual CCTLDs, April 2010 Approval of IDN CCTLDs. Documentation, ICANN board decisions regarding delegations. All cases of delegations of CCTLDs were analyzed. However, this does not include the delegation of IDN CCTLDs as this is currently the subject of the policy development process in the CCNSO. The following cases were included in the final report of the working group on the delegation of CCTLDs, .tl.eu.ax, .kp.me.rs. And that sort of closes off the delegation one. We then do redelegation with consent. You can see the documents again and the cases. Then we move on to...
Just a moment, Benny. Bill has his hand up.
Okay.
Hi. Just a question of information. I think there have been some new TLDs delegated in the last few months that aren't on this list. The breakup of the, I guess it's the Svalbard or whatever those islands are, and some Caribbean islands.
Oh, as in very recently in the last two or 3 months.
So we may want to make a note that we haven't looked at anything beyond F year.
That's a good point. Thanks, Bill.
Thanks, Bill. And Annex F, documentation for the redelegation without the consent. The documents, the cases. And I think we're there. Oh, Annex G, retirement of CCTLDs. Annex H, June 9, 2010, letter from the chair to the working group, of the working group to the chair of the board. And actually, we had decided to take that out and just give the URL, but I guess it was accidentally left in there. But if you haven't read it, you've got it there. And that's the end of the report, and I'll take any final questions, comments. Over to you, sir.
Hello? Hello?
Hi. Did we lose Keith?
Yeah, he indicates in the chat that he just got cut off phone. Another earthquake, he writes. So.
Oh, okay.
Martin, you had your hand up first.
Bart, will you assume the chair? Thank you.
Martin?
Okay, thanks, Bart. Just a very small thing to add to the earlier discussion about reference to new delegations, to which presumably we ought to also acknowledge that there have been some IDN CCTLDs delegated as well.
Yeah, we have a specific line for that at the beginning of the text on the delegation of new CCTLDs that says we do not discuss or get involved in IDN CCTLDs.
But presumably the same principles in due course are going to have to apply for new IDN CCs.
I understand your point. I'm unsure how we want to integrate that, Bart.
I think what we could do is look at the text again and see to make a point of it that, say, at least the fast track and the, say, the current status of the IDN working group assumes that it will build on top of the delegation work. And Keith is back.
Yes.
Did you hear Martin's point?
Not at all, no.
Martin noted that, say, there is, we didn't look into IDN CCTLD's delegations. However, say, the assumption is that in future, the delegation of IDN CCTLD is based on, say, or the same rules will apply, or the delegation question. And so maybe, say, we have to look at some language to include it. That would be my suggestion, but maybe somebody else has another one.
Okay, yeah, no, it's a good point. Okay.
And Jaap has a question as well.
Yes, I see Jaap's hand up.
Okay, it's about Annex G. I mean, if you look at my copy, the first bullet, there's something wrong with formatting there, or else you don't understand it. But the real point I have is in the note. It talks there about the active ISO list, and to be really nitpicking, there is no such thing as an active list. I mean, you either understand it or you're not. And the other thing is that I don't understand the goal of this note, because there are eight TLDs which are still some form of activity which are not in this list, so I just pick on the SU, I don't know. Actually, new one just popped up, .an, but...
Yeah, so certainly deleting the word active would make that note more accurate, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes, yes, that's, but on the, also, but, I mean, SU domain is not the only one.
Yeah, if you, I've had trouble tracking them down, but if you've got your list, Yap.
I just made it up.
And we can adjust the text just to make...
I mean, and there are some are being retired, other ones are actually falling under the exception rule, I mean, like EU, for instance, and UK. And so I could give you a list and tell them what the status is.
Okay, that would be great. Yeah, thanks.
So,
and fantastic. Thanks, yeah.
Okay.
Sorry, Benny.
I'm done.
All done. Okay. Well, I think then throwing open the entirety of the report to the working group, my guess is that the absence of comments on the list and the comments that have arisen during the discussion on this call, that there is some general agreement that this is not a bad approach for this report. So I guess the questions for the working group are, is this the right approach? And secondarily, is there anything significant that we've discussed along the way that we haven't captured in this report that should be in here? I'll open up that for any general discussion or points. Nothing. We'll take that as a shining endorsement of the work that Benny and Bert have been doing, and with me lending a bit of help from the sidelines. Okay, if there's nothing else then regarding this report, we'll continue, and I think we've had some really good and solid input into this tonight, so we'll get some amendments done as quickly as possible, recirculate a copy, and re-meet next week to have a further review on it. Our future meetings are set down for on the 3rd of February, and then again, if we need it, on the 10th of February. And then meeting on the Sunday in San Francisco.
Keith, this is Bart.
Yes,
Bart. Just for logistical reasons and to give some time to the working group members to read the updated versions of not just this report, but the full reports as well, can we defer the meeting of next week to the one on the 10th?
Yes, although, why don't we proceed with both, but let's concentrate our early attention on amendments to the final report in time for next week's meeting, and then the four sort of detailed reports on the on the following week. Is that not putting too much pressure on the two of you, Bert and Bernie?
No, it's not so much, but it's more, say, for the working group members, because, say, if you look at it, the number of edits are limited, but it's more for the working group members. They have time to digest the changes.
Yeah. Well, I think if we circulate a marked-up version so that people can spot the changes rather than having to read the whole document, might be a good idea. So let's try and do that and see how we go.
Okay.
Okay. Are there any items of other business that we haven't discussed? Does anyone have anything else to add?
This is Bernie. It's not an item, but if I'm going to be trying to get this out in the next 2 days so everyone has almost a week to read it. Yeah, can you get me your text in the next 12 hours?
I'll give it to Dave, yes.
Thank you, sir. The note about the February 3rd meeting is 2200 UTC?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay.
Yes, and then 10th of February at 0600 UTC. Okay, if there's nothing else, thank you all for your participation and a great set of contributions on this call, and we'll talk all again in a week's time. Thank you very much.
Thanks. Bye.
Thank you.
Bye, all.
Thank you.
Bye.